Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be playing Deep Sea Adventures. No, aquatic noises queued up, like octopus noises.
What sound does an octopus make?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd come up with something.
Oh, no. I mean, I do love a good aquarium.
Designed by Jun Sasaki. A fake artist goes to New York, and Goro Sasaki. There's no artist listed, and it is published by Oink Games. We've never played an Oink game, have we?
Yeah, I believe they are a Japanese publishing company, and a lot of their stuff doesn't make it to the States. I know Suzanne has a friend.
I was going to say, of course, Suzanne's got
So she has a friend that lives in Tokyo that will buy her games at the Tokyo Game Fair. And then send them all to her. When I was actually in Okinawa, I saw some of their games in the Sane when we went. But
you didn't get any?
No, they didn't have good reviews, the ones that they had. So I didn't. But this one and A Fake Artist Goes to New York are actually in Target here in the States.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The description of it is a group of poor explorers hoping to get rich quickly. Heads out to recover treasure from some undersea ruins. They're all rivals, but their budgets force them to work to share a single rented submarine. In the rented submarine, they all have to share a single tank of air as well. If they don't get back to the sub before they run out of air, they'll drop all their treasure and presumably be dead. Now it's time to see who can bring home the greatest riches. The mechanics are pick up and deliver, push your luck, roll, spin, and move. And the box art is a very flat art design of a deep blue background with a light blue submarine.
And to describe the shape of this submarine, just think the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. Yeah. And that is the shape of the submarine.
Also, the top of it really reminds me, too, of like one of those little bells, right, that they'd have
at a counter.
Bing! It reminds me, too, of like some of those kind of more wood blockish like building things for kids.
Oh, yeah.
So based on all this, would you pull it off a shelf?
Yeah. I mean, OK, treasures, push your luck. The cover is blue and I'm just attracted to the color blue. So I'm totally intrigued. So I give it a shot.
Yeah. I love me a good submarine, so I'm in. There's some other positives too, but that's about all I need. Kiwi?
Yeah. Well, I would pick this one up too. I think the cover art, even though it's simple, I think it's still intriguing enough that I would pick up just to find out more because it's so simple. And then the mechanics are definitely stuff that we've enjoyed in the past. So I'd be curious to figure out and find out more about it.
How are we going to play it? Okay, well, the push your luck is probably the fact that you're about to die from a lack of air.
Right.
So we're all on a submarine. We're sharing a tank of air and we're collecting treasure.
I like that we're so poor as rivals that we're just like, okay, I know we're against each other, but let's share air.
Yeah. How is that going to work?
It's kind of like why you probably could have come up with a better plan where like, you know, we just said, hey, why don't we all just work completely together and we'll just split the loot at the end. But
nope. But we could agree just enough to rent the submarine together, but not enough that we're just like, you know what? Screw you guys. We're not taking turns.
All right. So we're on a submarine. We're going to be, I guess, going out into the water.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, is that the roll, spin, and move?
I think that'll determine how far maybe out we can get. My only guess is it's going to play like Fire in the Library, kind of, where you're kind of like trying to collect something. I don't think you're drawn out of a bag like that, but like pick up and deliver. No, so you're probably like, I got to get from point A to point B. I'm going to see, got to roll to try to make that move to like get the treasure and bring it back to the submarine. And then you have a certain amount of like, you know, air points and air, you got to do it before you run out of air. That's my best guess. History of Deep Sea Adventures, BP.
Well, so I was going to go just like how we kind of started this off. Like when you made the octopus reference, I was like, oh, Jules Verne, I'll look him up. Right. And we'll do a Jules Verne thing. And then Kiwi was like, I don't know if that's this type of game. So we are not Jules Verne-ing it. We'll have to try that for another game, I think, at some point, because I think Eric and I really want to talk about large octopi what they might.
I always want to talk about cephalopods.
I mean, I'm not opposed to cephalopods.
Right. So I didn't prep it, though. Okay. Instead, I did early submersibles, which also still fits since, right, we have to rent one. Would be really funny if we could rent one of the very first ones that was created in the 17th century. It was called the Drebbel, and it was rowed by oars. So anyway, yeah, that's the whole thing with submarines is how are you going to propel it? So the early one obviously did not go very deep because I feel like it would be really hard to row oars very far underneath the water. I think some of the early deeper ones would be 18th and then, of course, 19th century. So there was an early one, the Turtle,
yep,
at the end of the 18th century.
Yeah.
So by the Civil War, I mean, I said they were fairly well in use, but I guess there was really just one good example of, and I don't know if good since, yeah, right?
It sank.
It sank and didn't every,
yes,
everybody died.
On that. Yeah. Yeah. The CSS Hunley.
Yeah. 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 I remember that story. They were, cause they were dropping torpedoes, right? Or mines.
So the Turtle failed because it couldn't actually, so the goal of the Turtle was to get below a wooden sub, use a drill to drill a hole and then place explosive in it and then blow it up. But it wasn't able to get enough purchase to be able to drill the hole to place the explosive. And the Hunley design was crazy. They just like, it was a long tube with a bunch mm-hmm. of people that propelled it. And then there was a, what then would be called a torpedo, but it was really a mine.
Yeah.
And the goal was is just run into the other ship.
Yeah.
Which also seems like a terrible plan.
Yes. Well, they got better by the early 20th century once Indeed. Diesel engines, right, were created and you know, more polished. And of course, then the Great War would be one of the first to really see extensive use of that in the Untersee boats.
Yep.
And the Germans not necessarily blockading, but definitely sinking a bunch of ships.
All right. So the game takes place over three rounds. Each of those rounds depicts one of our dives. So each dive begins with a full tank of air and all the divers on the submarine. The player who gains the most points over the three dives is the winner. In order to gain points, you must bring back undersea treasure chips to the submarine, and you can only return to the submarine once per dive. Mm-hmm. A dive ends when all divers have returned to the sub or the air runs out. All right. The player who has been in the ocean or gone swimming most recently takes the first turn. I feel like this might be Eric because I remember he went paddleboarding sometime recently.
Yeah, in New Zealand.
Well, it also says or gone swimming.
Just swimming?
Yeah. It says in the ocean or gone swimming.
Highly unfair since I have a pool in my backyard.
Yeah. All right. So I think Eric gets to go first. During a round, players will take turns conducting the following four steps in order unless they have already returned to the submarine. So first thing you're going to have to do is breathe.
Okay.
So
I tell myself that every morning.
Today's the day I'm going to keep breathing. So you're going to move the air marker towards zero based on the number of treasure chips that you have on you. So if you have two treasure chips, you're going to move it down two.
Wow. Wait, so the more treasure you have, the less air you have?
Well, the more air you use up with the more treasure that you have. If the current player uses all the air, that player is going to finish their turn and the round ends immediately. So the next step is you're going to declare whether you're going to turn back or continue forward. If you decide to go back, you must proceed all the way back to the submarine. You can't decide to turn around again for treasure. You can pick up treasure on your way back to the submarine.
Well, does that count against your air then?
It will on subsequent turns.
Jeez.
All right. If you roll the die.
I thought the whole point is to get treasure, but you're like killing yourself getting treasure.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you have to share your air.
That's capitalism.
If you roll the dice, which is the next step, without declaring, you have to go deeper. So the next step is swim. You're going to roll the dice, add up all the pips, and subtract the number of treasure chips you are carrying. So if you roll a six and you have two treasure chips, you get to move forward four. And you're going to move that many treasure chips forward. If you would hop over somebody, you don't stop on their chip and you also don't count their chip. So that lets you move forward a little bit faster going past people. And the last thing is treasure hunt. And in treasure hunt, you're going to take one of the following actions. You can do nothing.
Okay.
You can pick up a treasure chip your diver stopped on and place it in front of you without flipping it over. And you're now carrying it. Yeah. So the treasure chips are going to have either 1, 2, 3, or 4 pips on it. The more pips it has, the higher the point value is underneath, but you won't know what the point value is on the bottom. And then the last thing, the third thing you can do during the treasure hunt is if you're carrying a treasure and you stop on a blank chip, you can drop the treasure chip of your choice on that spot and replace the blank chip with that treasure chip. So basically, you can drop a treasure in order to have less treasure on you. Okay. So the dive. The dive ends if air reaches zero or all the divers on the submarine. Divers on the submarine, once you make it at the end of the dive, you're going to flip over all your chips, and that's the points that you get for that round, and then those will carry forward. For players who don't make it, you drop all your treasure.
You die.
Well, so in this, you don't die. Okay. You drop your treasure and like swim like hell towards the submarine. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a stack of 3 treasures at the bottom of the ocean, which is the bottom of the track. Mm-hmm. And those 3 treasures together will always count as a single treasure. So that's kind of like the faster you can get to that treasure, the more points you'll get coming back. And at the end of the 3rd round, the player with the most points is the winner. If there is a tie, the player with the most 4 pip treasures is the winner. And if it's still tied, then the players share the victory.
Let's dive.
We just finished a game of Deep Sea Adventure. To recap, BP had 10 octopus treasure points. I had 14 octopus treasure points, and Kiwi obnoxiously won with 22 octopus treasure points.
Yeah, it was definitely those two previous dives where we picked up all the cheap stuff, which let the expensive stuff kind of get closer to the surface.
Yeah, so I guess the full recap is that dive 1, we ran out of air, all of us. Dive 2, we all ran out of air, all of us. And dive 3, we played a little smarter. BP and I smartly got back to the submarine, and Kiwi got lucky and rolled a bunch of 6s.
Yeah, well, the first 2 dives, the first couple people ate up all the air because it was just like, nope, looting it. And by the third dive, we realized like, grab one and head on back.
Yeah.
I also went deeper than I wanted to because I rolled some, and even Eric cheered when I rolled that 6. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm not making it back.
Yeah.
You should not have made it back. Statistically, you shouldn't have.
I figured you guys would pick up loot on the way back and start eating up all the oxygen.
What'd you think of the theme, BP?
I mean, there was definitely, I felt like I was getting treasure.
Did you feel like you were in a submarine diving?
I mean, I hope not, because I get really seasick. And even on the ride in Disneyland that once.
Resident submarine expert Kiwi.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel like I was on a submarine, but like the pressure of being underwater and using up air, like I've been scuba diving and I felt like that, like, hey, we're using up all the air. We got to hurry up. So I got that vibe from it.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of captures that for me. Like the weirdest part is like you're the way it's laid out. It's like you're swimming downward, collecting treasure on the way down. It's a little weird for that part, like the way you're collecting treasure. That was a little off, but yeah, I mean the whole, like you're running out of oxygen, you're pressing your luck. It probably could have been a lot of other things, but I mean, it works out because it just, you know, the submarine and all the blue, and it's really, it's just really pretty. Probably going to art. It's probably more on the art side that kind of really captures the feel, I think.
Yeah. And I think that is though kind of the point, right? That we talk about when we think about the theme too, is sometimes how all of it works together. And definitely, like you said, the color scheme helps with that. Because right, the lower pips that are closer are also lighter. So, right, as you would, I mean, in the mm-hmm. beginning, at least. So as you would get, you know, lower in underneath the sea, right, it gets darker. I mean, I'm assuming I really haven't been.
That is how light works in water.
Yeah. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, the art is super simplistic. It's not really art. It's more graphic design, which I think is probably why an artist isn't listed. But I think the way the game works and the way the mechanics all come together, you really don't need art.
Well, I mean, it's how you define it.
I think, like,
the component wise, like the shape of the submarine, even the way that the board is just laid out is very like artistic.
Yeah. I mean, I get going the simplistic version and I think it works. But I think like if you did want to do, you could do fancier images that had like, you know, maybe they had like some coral reefs in it or even had, you know, like some.
Yeah, you could definitely have a board with this. I think what's interesting about Oink Games is because of like they tend to do like as small a box as they can possibly do, because it fits into Japanese culture where everything people tend to live in smaller homes. So like the idea of space saving, like you wouldn't have these giant box games that take up tons of space. So they try to like make it as small as possible. So there isn't a board, it's just all tiles, but I could see like having a board that then would be like super artistic.
But no, I mean, I do like it as such.
It's very simplistic, but it does it well. And it probably does a better job of the theme than like the mechanics do. So on mechanics, Kiwi, what did you think of the mechanics?
Yeah, it reminded like Celestia would probably be the closest game that we've played with the airships.
That's exactly what I thought.
But I thought the big difference here is even though we were working together in Celestia, there was always somebody in charge, you know, making the decision whether they continue or not. In this one, it's everybody's kind of on their own, but so it's like this weird, like semi co-op.
Yeah.
Where I tend to, the part that I don't like about semi co-op is when you don't know if somebody is against you.
Right.
Whereas here, I know, like, okay, I got to figure out what the other two knuckleheads are doing.
Start heading back
because I have to make decisions based on that.
Or so, like, BP is going to loot like right out of the submarine.
Yeah, exactly.
And like burn that, up like the first time. We're even off the boat.
I mean, I don't feel like that shouldn't have even been a question.
Yeah, so I liked kind of the combination of all of those bits, and it felt more. I feel like it felt more thematic the way they put the mechanics together for it.
Yeah. No, and I think I just want to. I would like to comment on the mechanics.
Oh,
right. I know. Let's all be shocked for a second.
It's 2020. Everything's gone now.
I loved the push your luck and semi co-op in this. Like, it worked. I feel like really well together. Again, I feel like you know your players a little bit more because then you know kind of who to watch. Although I wonder. I mean, Eric, you always like the kind of chaos level. Would playing with strangers in that sort of aspect?
Oh, I don't like strangers. I like the mechanics
which is generally good.
No, like if we sat down at like, say, a Gen Con and played this with people we were not, you know, familiar with, like, would we have pushed our luck further or would we have like, because, I mean, Eric and I obviously were watching each other, like, by the third round. Obviously, the first round, he went deep sea diving and came up cold. But, and I played in a traditional BP fashion, right? Looting, like, there and back again. But, like, so I wonder if we didn't know those things, would it add, like, just this level of more intensity to the push your luck?
Well, I think what's interesting is it's not just push your luck, though. I'm pushing my luck, but I'm also a little bit pushing everybody else's luck too.
Oh, that second round, I pushed everybody's luck. I was like, I'm going to see how much air I can burn up on my way back. And I burned up a lot of air.
The push your luck aspect, I feel like they played into it because it wasn't just yours.
Yeah.
I don't know about like it necessarily even just strangers, but imagine this with six people in general. Like it would just be chaos, even if you knew the people.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's kind of like Colt Express where like the more people just would make this better, I think.
I mean, you would move farther because you jump over where other divers are. So you could potentially get deeper faster. But yeah, like just imagine that.
How fast like, the air
even
would
if,
go.
Even if one person. Even if each person has one treasure, you're using up six air a round. You have four rounds at that point.
Yeah. Plus then like the whole like rolled move thing was very, you know, luck intensive. And that just amplifies even more as you have more people doing that. And so caveat on mechanics is like, if you don't like luck based games, this is not a game for you. I mean, it's meant to just be a fun, hilarious kind of game to play. And rules. I mean, there's really not much wording to even deal with. And
right. I think my only thing is it was hard to find, even though there's an English version here in the States in Target, it was hard to find a English translation of the rules. And if you go to Oink Games' website, they do have a short video, which is, it's super cute. It's like this dice that's like dressed up as a pig, and the pig teaches you to play the game. It was pretty funny. It was very well done. And so like the English translation that I found along with that video, like the game itself is super easy to teach and easy to learn. So I don't think there was a lot lost in translation.
Yeah. And I don't think it took us long to really pick up. I mean, obviously, right. First round and the game in general.
We got it. Yeah. I mean, it's probably the only like little weird rule thing is probably how you drop the loot that and build this little snake thing. That's probably the only thing that, you know, you really even need. I think we probably could have figured out everything else on our own. Planner action. Yes.
Yeah.
Again, like we've talked about it up to this point, like everything you do is affecting every other player and you got to watch what they're doing. It's a very good, like, I think the style of planner action I like where it's very like deductive. You're trying to figure out what they're doing and why they're doing it, what's planning.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The push your luck, but also push everybody else's luck too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Would you play it again? BP?
Yes, Kiwi was just looking at me like very pointedly, and I was like, he can't see you. Yes, in fact,
I was trying to guess who he was going to pick first.
And in fact, if we weren't going to be playing a different game right after this, I'd want to play right away. Like, I loved it. Like, it's fast. I love the push your luck. And yeah, I would definitely do it more.
Okay. Kiwi.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. If we weren't playing another game later, I would 100% play this again. Fast, simple. The push your luck is super fun. Mm-hmm. I liked it way better than Celestia because you don't have to worry about manipulating cards or anything like that. It's just straight. So like
Celestia had some like slightly clunkier mechanics in it, I felt like.
Yeah. Well, there was also kind of like a bluffing aspect to it too, where you could be like, well, I like whether or not you thought you could stay on or you had one of those cards where you could jetpack down to the island and survive anyway.
Well, and I do love the idea that you had said that it was also so compact again in thinking about, I feel like we should all think about like, right, spaces and smaller spaces and where you could take this and it not only being small, so you could potentially when we can move around some more, right? Actually take this to places and have like a lot of people actually play it, which would be that fun and chaotic and really easy.
I mean, I love the boxes downstairs in the board game shelf. I think it looks cool, but at the same time, like I hate opening a box and it's all air.
Yeah.
It bothers me so much. It's just like you wasted so much space and like for what reason? So the idea that Oink Games is like, we're going to make this box as small as we possibly can and still fit all the components. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they, based on the games that I've seen, they make decisions, game-based decisions, based on, do we actually need this thing or can we take it out and make the box smaller?
I bet from a game like creation sort of aspect, that would seem a interesting puzzly challenge, I feel like. Yeah. So the right kind of brains would really enjoy that kind of problem solving.
So that leads us to Eric. Would you play it again?
You said I can get this at Target, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go buy it.
Yay.
Yeah. I think the like comparing it to me, people talk about, hey, try to distill your game like down to exactly the like core thing you want to do. And like, you know, I think this does that like perfectly compared to like Celestia, which had some other mechanics that were kind of like, were they necessary? It was a fun game, but you know, it had some weird things that just made it clunky and probably weren't necessary to kind of capture that whole like push your luck kind of ass feel to it. And I think this does it like really well. And then, like you said, like I love that you could just like this would be like a perfect travel game because like you know it's compact, all that, but it also plays six people. Like that's not common. Usually, a lot of like I mean, how many Quiver games do you have that are like high player counts?
Not a lot. Because even Cat Lady only goes to five. Guillotine, maybe, but I don't know what the max player count is on that
guillotine.
One.
Guillotine? I don't know.
We've only played it with four, I think, is the max we've ever played it with.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like there's not many for six. Like, to me, like, it's like I think BP was saying, you know, more traveling, but like, you know, like when I travel around, like having a quick, like, sometimes people do, like, we play Jenga or we play like stuff like that. Oh, God, the Uno games. But like, this would be like the perfect kind of better game to pull out to play with like a group like that. But yeah, I like this one a lot.
So I think it's important to point out that the game is not sold in the store anymore, but you can get it on their website.
Okay.
Which, good to know.
In this day and age, probably is probably better anyway.
And I mean, I'm sure if it's in Target, I'm sure some game stores have it too.
Yeah.
It just might be a little harder to find.
I think it was one of those things where it was a Target exclusive for a little bit and then they're no longer selling it in the store, but you could still order it from Target.
That is Deep Sea Adventure. Don't run out of air. Also, don't try to play the game holding your breath.
No, especially if Kiwi's giving the rules in between.
Ouch. Yeah. Well, at least I knew the rules before the game started, y'all.
If you are like me and you cannot wait until Tuesday when our podcast drops, and you have recommendations of Target exclusive or hard to find games, send them our way. We want to hear from you. The email address is firstturntabletop@gmail.com. And you can also hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. What kind of underwater, like,
please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
Get it up.
I'm going deeper. I want to get down. Okay. I mean, BP is going to kill us all because she's going to take everything. But.
Yep. Six, one, two, three. Nope. She ended up
right there. Man.
Her fingers brushed the southern bottom of the submarine when suddenly she realizes.
Okay. That one was my fault. My bad on that one.
The order is engage the caterpillar drive.